You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Friday afternoon, February the 10th. We're going to be talking about an NBCNews.com story wherein the opponents of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, who was just confirmed by the Senate, both before and after her Senate confirmation hearings, were threatening to homeschool their children. Of course, she was going to be head of the Department of Education. They didn't want any part of it. They're going to pull their kids out of public schools and homeschool them. Terry Mattingly joins us to discuss this and the media coverage of the story. He's senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
All of this opposition to Betsy DeVos was, and the story that swirled around it, was this about religion, or were there other things going on there?
I don't think there's any question that religion played a big part in this, and we can get back to a couple of specific elements of the story that involved religion that are worth talking about. But I think this is one of those strange cases where you just have to use, what's the term, Occam's razor?
Yes.
That when you're forced to choose between two things, why not just go with the most logical of the two? I think you simply have to assume that the 50 to 60% of the delegates to your typical Democratic National Convention who are connected in some way to teachers' unions, I think that opposing a woman who has based her entire career on trying to offer as many people as possible options other than traditional public schools, I think you'd have to say that, you know, that's like asking the board of directors that focus on the family, you know, to elect Elton John, you know, or something as their new, you know, director of all programming at Focus or something like that. I mean, it would be hard to name someone who symbolically would be more viciously opposed. And then you get the money involved in this. You have the millions and millions and millions of dollars that teachers' unions give to Democratic candidates. And when something like this comes up, those folks are supposed to deliver. They're supposed to come through. The fact that Betsy DeVos and the DeVos family have themselves invested millions of dollars in these issues and have made some contributions to some members of Congress, all of which is like a fingernail compared to the massive amounts of money invested by teachers' unions, she is a symbolic opponent of the people who would most be angry about this and the people who would most be in a position to lobby and influence the Democratic Party. You put that together and you have a perfectly logical reason for World War III.
There is an NBCNews.com piece, DeVos backlash sees parents threatening to homeschool kids. That is, I guess, as you say, knowingly ironic. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that one, that's one of those situations where, you know, when you open up your email in the morning and you have like four or five people sending you the same story, you see the same URL over and over being forwarded to you, and the headline of every single one of them seems to have come straight out of Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, that famous scene. That's what I call ironic. You know, you have this whole situation here that liberals are saying you should protest Betsy DeVos's confirmation by pulling your kids out and homeschooling them. to make sure that you get that your children get your values instead of her values. And of course, the irony there is this is a woman who has spent pretty much her entire adult life dedicated to alternative forms of education, of which homeschooling would be, you know, one of them. I mean, this is a woman who would applaud anyone's decision to make the choice, to use a loaded word, to make the choice of keeping your children at home, using certain curriculum that have been approved, and inculcating your family's values into their lives. So the whole idea that you would protest Betsy DeVos by doing something that she would cheer for, everybody thought that was ironic. So when I opened up this NBC piece, I thought this was going to be a classic case where you had another secular reporter who didn't get the irony, who didn't get understand. But sure enough, I was very pleased to be surprised totally by the fact that not only did the piece understand how ironic this was, it then proceeded to document the fact that throughout its history, the homeschooling movement has long had a liberal and left wing, you know, of people who wanted to offer their children an alternative to public schools for a host of different reasons that might be different than the typical evangelical Catholic or Orthodox Jewish people, or increasing numbers of Muslim people who would homeschool their children for religious reasons. But you know, I was so pleased that NBC got the fact that, yes, there would be liberals out there who would choose this option. In fact, the first thing that leapt into my mind was something that I put into the Get Religion post on this topic, which was an interview that I had done, gosh, I guess now it's like 16 years ago. It was way back in kind of the middle period of the Harry Potter wars. And I was doing an interview with someone with a book that had caught my attention when this book came out, and I thought, wow, that's an interesting topic. So for Mother's Day, I called up this pagan woman, a pagan author who had written a book, logically enough, called Pagan Parenting, and got into this conversation with her about, you know, what she had written in the book. I read the book and asked her some questions about it. And lo and behold, this woman was about to become a homeschooling mom because she didn't feel that the local public schools took religion seriously enough and that they would probably be threatened by her son's religious beliefs and faith. And then, as if that wasn't enough, I mean, we have a pagan, druid, Wiccan homeschooling mom. As if that wasn't enough, she had made the strategic decision to not allow her children to read Harry Potter because she thought, quite frankly, the doctrine was wrong. She said that you weren't in Harry Potter dealing with actual paganism. You were dealing with just traditional kind of semi-Christian, English, British wizard stories, which, by the way, I think she's absolutely right on that. But this woman, to me, became a symbol of the fact that there are some really complex and interesting folks out there who, when offered a choice, might choose some form of education choice, whether that is homeschooling or some genuinely unique and interesting alternative schools, many of them faith-based.
So kind of the long and short of it is that not only in terms of the history of homeschooling and school choice, the left has been involved in it. And if given the right circumstances, the right president and secretary of education, they're in favor of school choice and homeschooling too, turns out.
Well, that's where you get into the fact that they don't all believe the same thing about the church-state issues involved. And that brings us to the other reason that DeVos is so hated. You could say it's the church-state reason. This is a woman who believes that it is not a violation of the separation of church and state to allow parents to make some decisions about what happens with their tax dollars concerning education. In other words, she is opposed to a monopoly on taxpayer-funded options in education belonging to public schools. And that is a very controversial choice. We have some state programs that are working, some state programs that have been rejected by courts. I definitely think that if she holds this office for 4 years or longer, we're going to see the Supreme Court once again faced with the issue of why are parents allowed to, for example, take tax exemptions for tuition involving religious-based higher education when those same kinds of assistance programs and whatever aid to students, et cetera, from the state can't be used for anything below the 12th grade. I expect a kind of a tongs and hammers warfare over that issue because she will push it. There's no question about it.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about an NBCNews.com story about the opponents of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos threatening to homeschool their children. What did the story leave unanswered about school choice and homeschooling? Terry will answer that question after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois invites you to an open house from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Sunday, February the 12th. Take a tour, visit with faculty and administration, and find out more about financial assistance and scholarships. For more information, call Dr. Jay Krause, 618-656-0043, or send an email to j.krause@melhs.org. Open house at Metro East Lutheran High School, Edwardsville, Illinois, Sunday afternoon, February 12th.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, let's talk a little bit about that NBCNews.com story further. What questions did it leave or subjects did it leave unexplored when it came to school choice or homeschooling?
Well, I'm hoping that if some journalists read this story, they simply need to ask themselves, okay, who are the liberals who favor differing forms of school choice? In other words, I didn't know there were any. I didn't think there would be any people who would choose homeschooling over on the left. As I put in the piece, kind of in a snarky little line, I didn't know there were homeschoolers other than people, you know, who huge families blowing out the walls of their minivans while wearing fashions from the Little House on the Prairie, you know, catalog. I didn't know these other people existed. Maybe that's an interesting story. Maybe liberal or secular Jewish homeschoolers. Maybe feminist homeschoolers. Maybe progressive Catholic homeschoolers, of which there are quite a few. Maybe these other people are worth a story in their own right. You then get into the fact that in some urban governments, Michigan, of course, is where DeVos is from, so she's been active in these cases. You do have African-American church leaders, some African-American and Latino political leaders who have begun to dance with the heresy that it would be good for urban schools to have some competition and that allowing truly motivated families who are willing to put up some of their money, maybe through a host of different types of programs, either using state dollars or using foundation dollars. The DeVos Foundation has given lots of money to scholarship programs for Christian education to allow people that choice. There are some people that want to extend separation of church so far that a billionaire like Betsy DeVos, when she gives money to a foundation that provides scholarships to allow inner city children to have school choice, there are some people that would say that Betsy DeVos shouldn't even get a tax exemption, a tax write-off there, even though this is not for her own children, that this is a total gift to somebody else, that even that level of tax policy should be carefully handled on church-state issues. So there are people out there in urban settings who, in addition to charter schools, to state-operated independent schools, and those are controversial with a lot of teachers' unions and not with others, then you have voucher programs, then you have foundation-funded scholarship programs, you have all of these different options. And journalists, perhaps, knowing that the DeVos story was such a hot-button thing, maybe they should explore what's happening. And this is not happening out in suburbia. This is not happening, for the most part, out in the land of megachurch evangelical Protestantism. There might be a lot of homeschoolers out there, but if you're looking at the hotbed of school choice issues, most of the time you'll find it in urban areas, and you will find quite a few African-American and Latino churches involved in some of those issues. And once again, that doesn't fit the template, which means it's a good thing to cover it, find out what the facts are, and see if the template fits.
There are some who, I recently read a Breitbart piece from last year where they interviewed, I think, the president of Hillsdale College, and this is a college that doesn't accept federal funds,
right,
as far as I know, and they have an enormous number of students who have come out of homeschooling situations.
Yes.
And they're really breaking the mold in terms of what higher education can do. And this was on the prospect of DeVos being confirmed, and someone suggested in the story, maybe what the best thing Betsy DeVos could do as Secretary of Education is to put her successor out of a job. There are those who say the Department of Education not only needs reform, and education not only needs reform, we need to hand this entirely back to the states.
Well, I think that's possible. At the same time, if you look at a land like Britain, which has an infinitely more complex education system than we do, I think government involvement, at the very least in standards and curriculum or something like that, is probably inevitable for a long time. But this brings us back to why DeVos was controversial and why people were so upset about it. This is a woman who, and this is more than symbol, because she's from a Christian Reformed background, a Calvinist background. This is a woman who has never, ever done anything in public schools in terms of her own life, in terms of her children. She has basically been an abstainer from public education, which is something that in the heavily Calvinist enclaves of the Midwest, that's very common. I mean, Christian Reform schools are everywhere in a place like Grand Rapids, Michigan, not the least of which is you're sitting there with Calvin College and Calvin Seminary, you know, a couple of blocks away. I mean, this is a town that's so Calvinist, it's got two Calvinist colleges in it. I don't know what kind of theological issues that raised in terms of of God's providence in Grand Rapids. But to make a long story short, she is not known for her work with public schools. She is known for her work with those who don't trust public schools. So can she walk some sort of middle path where she tries to work with people on both sides? If she was able to do that, that would be a tremendous win for the school choice advocates, in the sense that you could see there kind of would be a moral equivalence drawn between these two options. Then you put all that up to a Supreme Court decision on the actual church-state issue of funding or vouchers or tax plan write-offs or whatever, and you could have a massive change in the American educational landscape.
Someone might say, look, I see people, opponents of DeVos, who are threatening to homeschool their kids, but that's just kind of the parental version of Leah Dunham, actress Leah Dunham, threatening to move to Canada if Trump is elected. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, there's some truth in that. These people might have just been saying the first thing that came to their mind. But the simple fact of the matter is there are liberal homeschool curriculums. There are totally secular homeschool networks with no faith content at all, which means some of these people may literally be sitting there thinking, hey, my friend Judy and my other friend James, they're homeschooling their kids, and I like what's happening with their kids. Why shouldn't I try that? Maybe I assert my own free will. That's kind of a hard thing to say in a Calvinist context, but maybe I'll assert my free will and just do this. I'll show them. And then we've gone full circle now. We're back to the irony at the beginning, which is DeVos is saying, fine, go for it. In fact, let's see if we can get you a tax write-off.
Does it also highlight that homeschooling or alternative schooling often is a form of political protest?
Several things are going on. First of all, there is evidence that emerges in polls that the vast majority of people in America who have three or more children, especially four children and above, that they are making a theological statement when they have that many children. So when you get into the mainstream of the homeschooling world, you are often dealing with larger families. You'll see the same thing in a lot of Jewish, Catholic, evangelical, and other Calvinist, other forms of Christian schools. So you've got, I'd call it more an act of cultural rebellion than I would say strictly political. These are folks that are saying, we're not in the mainstream. Frankly, to point readers toward a book which is coming out right now, our friend Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option, is coming out. And one of the things that he argues in there that we have reached a stage where for cultural reasons, more than political, cultural and moral reasons, a key element of being a Christian and raising your children in the Christian faith is going to be the choice of alternative forms of education. That we've reached the point where we can no longer trust the shopping mall and the teachers' unions to raise our children. And pulling out of that is one of the very first actions for many people towards some sort of a genuine rebellion against the culture. If that's the case, I can already tell reporters things they should consider covering. Number one, they should consider covering the annual conference on religious liberty that is held at Brigham Young. Because if there's going to be some huge change involving the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and its connection to public schools in Utah and elsewhere, that would be a massive story. But even bigger would be this next summer's meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention, Missouri Synod Lutherans, but of course there were already dealing with alternative forms of schools, right? Powerful alternative schools among Missouri Synod Lutherans. I would also suggest that they check out something, pick a large symbolic gathering of African American Christians. Perhaps the next time the bishops of the Church of God in Christ get together and find out, hey, does DeVos show up? Does someone from the administration show up to make a case for school choice to intensely Christian African American leaders? I can definitely see several different ways that this story could gain legs in the future, which would horrify the opponents of school choice, which is why we saw such a big battle about this in the first place. With DeVos sitting in that chair, some of these subjects now get discussed in places where they've never been discussed before.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
Here's an email that we received this week from listener Craig. Writes, Todd, thanks a bunch for your two most recent Issues Etc. articles. They clearly focus in on some popular misnomers and set the facts straight, explaining them well. Good work. Thanks be to God. Thanks for reading it, Craig, and thanks for listening. By the way, you can subscribe absolutely free to the online Issues Etc. journal as well. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red button, enter your email address, and you're subscribed. You'll find an article in there on the myths regarding the gospel. That's part three of a series I've done that he's talking about there, and our Wittenberg Trail feature. Monday on Issues Etc., President Donald Trump has promised to repeal the Johnson Amendment. Now, since 1954, the so-called Johnson Amendment to the U.S. Tax Code has prohibited churches and other nonprofit organizations from directly or indirectly participating in or intervening in any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for elective office. I want to hear from you. Should the Johnson Amendment be repealed? Why or why not? Would the repeal help or hurt Christian congregations? Leave your thoughts this weekend at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Registration for the 2017-18 school year is now open at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul is the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're located 1 mile off Interstate 55. Come check out our pre-kindergarten and elementary school, where worship, historical hymnody, and catechesis are interwoven with direct academic instruction. Open house is Sunday, February 12th. Find out more at school.stpaulhamel.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.